congratulations to our Rootin' Tootin' winner. That would be Dan. Dan provided the best tasting chili last week at our chili cook-off. He was voted the winner, and so he got a nice little trophy, an Emmy, for the sound he produced. I mean, the chili he produced. So
I'd just like to say that passing out $5 gifts helps.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't get my $5 gift, really. I guess, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to continue on a series of sermons we started a few weeks ago called Thankful to Be Together, One Community Bound by Jesus, and overall just calling it Together. It's been fun doing this sermon and kind of changing a little bit of our Sunday format a little bit, and we'll continue on even after this sermon series in that process because, honestly speaking, we must be a community together bound by Jesus. If we're not, then what is to come is going to become very, very difficult and something that as days continue to press forward and things continue to get tough, we're going to need to know, as I've said before, who has your back. Who's behind you, who's on each side of you, who's supporting you, who's helping you, and we're going to need to know that as we go forward. And there's a wonderful saying called, it takes a community, but it takes a village, right? You ever heard it takes a village to raise a child? We always say that. We hear people say that a lot of times. Schools use that comment because it's not just the parents who change or who need that village, but it's the schools who are part of that. It's the community around them. And it's true. It takes a village to raise a child, but you know what? It takes a community to raise a Christian. And this is what I think Paul is trying to tell the Thessalonians that as he's speaking this to them. He's saying, listen, stay together. Be a community. Be strong together. Today we're going to see some things that Paul is actually warning the Thessalonians about. He's saying, make sure you don't fall into this. Don't fall into these traps of sin. Don't fall into the trap of these things that are rising up. And we do that by being together. I've learned over the many years of my life that I cannot do it alone. I have tried, believe me. I've tried to do a lot of things on my own. Yesterday was a perfect example. My Pat actually came over on Friday and helped me finish up part of my deck and doing some change on my deck. And I had a few extra pieces to put together. And I tried my best to do it by myself. But when you're holding a 6, 7, 8 foot long piece of board and you're trying to hold it up and drill at the same time, it doesn't work so good on your own. My wife said to me yesterday as we got home in the afternoon, she's like, do you need my help? And I'm like, nah, I can do it myself. I'll be okay. She's like, I don't mind helping you, but I don't want to get started for something. Then here you go, Jen, I need you. I said, no, I can do it. I'll be okay. So I got to the first piece. And what was the very first thing came out of my mouth? Jen, I need you. And she came out and we finished the deck and finished the back side of the deck, I should say. And it looks great, but it takes more than just ourselves to do things. See, oftentimes what happens is that we are so isolated and we are so stubborn-minded that we try to do everything on our own. We just want to do it on ourselves. We want to do it. We want to do things the way we want to do it, in the way, in the fashion, and the time that we want to do them. We don't want anyone else's help. We don't want anyone else around us. We just want to do it ourselves. Problem with that is that that's not the way that the Lord has created us to be. The Lord created us to be part of a community. He's created us to be together. Over and over again, we find stories of faith being enhanced due to those. We find stories of people of faith in Scripture being enhanced by those around them. Do you know that Jesus' ministry didn't begin until John the Baptist baptized Jesus? Right. Think about that. Would Jesus' ministry actually begin without John the Baptist? Well, probably, yes. I mean, after all, he is Jesus, right? But the truth of the matter is that his ministry was launched by John the Baptist. Think of Aaron and Moses. Go on and on, Paul and Timothy, Peter and John. You could go on and on and on and think about all of the people in Scripture. Almost every story in Scripture is enhanced by someone that's with them. See, Christianity was never meant to be completed or lived out alone. It was always meant to be together with someone else, with a community. Today's scripture, we find just how much a community can help you grow. Paul is writing to them to encourage them to grow, but also realize that with them, he also has become a better version of himself. Paul says that in the scripture, we'll read where Paul says that I am better. I am doing what the Lord has called me to do because of you. We find that to be true in many cases with scripture. We find that to be true in many cases with the disciples. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be starting in verse 8. Let's read this verse 8. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 8 through 10, and then we'll pause and pray. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we have, that we feel for your sake before our God. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see your face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Let's pause and pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Paul's amazing words to the Thessalonians. Lord, may we learn to be a community as Paul is directing them to be. May we learn to follow you. May we learn to walk with you. May we learn to walk with each other, Father, to encourage, to edify, to build up, to help each other, to live out the Christian life that we are called to be part of, Father. Lord, help us today as we journey down this road. Help us to understand what you would have to say to us through these scriptures. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear from you and to hear what you would say to us through these scriptures. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, and that you would guide us and direct us today as you do every day, Father. And we'll be sure to give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Paul is writing these wonderful words, and he's saying to them, for now we live, if you're standing fast in the Lord. Understand the comma in the middle of the statement, because it's very important. You can't just read through this without understanding the comma. The comma is a break, right? That's what it's there for. I'm not a grammar teacher, Christy. Don't judge me, right? Okay. But we find that there is this break here, for now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. Paul is saying, for we now live, meaning we live happily, we're excited to be part of life, because you are standing in the Lord. But if you're not standing in the Lord, then Paul, what would Paul say? Paul's comment here would be a little bit different. But he's saying, for now we live, if you're standing fast in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. Now listen, this is a wonderful, I could have easily done a sermon about Thanksgiving, right? This is Thanksgiving, and I could have included this verse. Paul, you're going to have to help me out here. I keep losing connection here. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel? Paul is saying that I am so thankful that you are following the Lord. I'm so thankful that you are with them. I'm so thankful that you are walking along this path, that you are with us, that you are there with them. That Paul is so thankful that he's like, I don't know what to say to the Lord. I don't know what more joy I can return to God for you. We're just thankful that you're here. See, what Paul understood is what every pastor and every leader and every member of a community should understand. Your thankfulness isn't just you. It's real easy to get high and low based upon your life that's around you. It's real easy to get all excited about things when they're going really, really good in your life. It's easy to do that because things are good, so you're going to be excited about that. That's wonderful. But then it's also really easy to get down when things are low and you're depressed and those types of things. What Paul is saying is that my joy is not just complete in myself, but my joy is complete in the community of believers that he's pouring his heart into. And so being part of a community gives you an opportunity to find joy maybe when you're not at joy. It gives you a chance to speak joy into someone else's life who may not be feeling joy at that moment in time. It gives you an opportunity to share with them. See, we should find Thanksgiving, we should find joy, not just in our own personal beliefs, in our own personal life, but we should find joy in others as well. That's what being a community is all about. We know that as families. Listen, we're excited when our kids are doing something great, right? As a mom or dad, when you see your kids doing something well, you're excited about that. That brings you joy. When you see your grandkids doing well, that brings you joy. A community is like a big family. We find our joy in each other and what's going on. And that doesn't mean that we're always joyful. Listen, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be full of roses and you're going to be walking the golden streets, right? That doesn't happen until we die and we go to heaven. Just to let you know, okay? When that happens, then we'll all be full of joy because we'll be there. But what it means is that when you're down and depressed, and you're like, woe is me, my life is so terrible, and all of these things, reach out to someone, pray for them. The greatest way of giving Thanksgiving into your life is by giving it to someone else for their life. The greatest way of pulling you out of depression, you know, I met with a counselor a few years ago, and he was a specific counselor for pastors, and it was a great opportunity for me to sit down with them a couple times and just speak about what was going on in my life. And it was a difficult time. It was the time that I was losing my father, and I was going through some things, and I really needed to talk with someone. And so I sat down with a counselor, and I was talking with him, and he said, "Jason, you got to find joy in what's around you. Maybe the situation you're facing isn't the greatest situation," and it wasn't. It was a very difficult situation. But you got to find joy outside of yourself. When you can't find joy inside, find joy outside. It was one of the greatest words he ever said to me. And as I started reading scripture, I started to realize that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. Paul says, not in this verse, but he says in another one, "I count it all joy, brothers, to be persecuted." How can you be persecuted and count that joy? He finds joy not because he's serving the Lord. That was something when you're down and depressed and you're down and out, where can you find joy? You can find joy all around you. Not every single person in this room is going to be depressed at the same time. If it is, woe is me. You might be able to find someone there might be people in here who are going through a lot of things. I know of several people in this room that are going through some things. But we can find some joy. We can find some happiness in that. We can hear testimonies of stories. I'm going to, before you leave, by the way, you guys are going to hear his testimony, Mike's testimony, because it's an amazing testimony. I'm putting you on notice here that I want you to share your testimony, because it's an amazing testimony about what's happening. That brings me joy. To hear that in his life and to hear what happened, that brings me joy. Why? Because sometimes my life isn't full of joy and I've got to find it. Sometimes God doesn't move. Sometimes it seems like, have you ever felt like God just isn't moving in your life? You pray, you ask him for these prayers, you're asking, and he just doesn't seem to be moving. Well, guess what? God is always moving. He may not be moving the way that you want him to in your particular situation, but he's always moving. And so when we find that joy in others and we see God moving in that joy, we do need to share that testimony with each other. Paul goes on to say, "As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." You know, one of the joys of community is spending time face to face with each other. You cannot have a community of people who don't spend time face to face. That is why I believe COVID, whether it was wherever it came from or wherever it was mass-produced or created or whatever, I believe it was a ploy of Satan to isolate people. Wholeheartedly, 100% believe that. What Paul is saying is that we must see face-to-face. I pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face-to-face and supply what is lacking in your faith. How do you supply what's lacking in someone's face? Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. In their faith, not their face. If you're lacking something in your face, sorry, I can't help you, right? I can help you if you're lacking something in your faith, but that's funny. Sometimes your pastor says things that even makes him laugh inside. So, yeah, but there's my joy, right? But if you're lacking something, Paul is saying, "I want to join with you to help you. I want to see you face to face." You would have never married your spouse if you would have never spent time face-to-face with. Now, I do understand that today, in the day and age of technology, there are many online romances that happen and that bloom and that happen. But you still need to be face-to-face. You still need to see each other. There's something that happens when you sit down and you look at someone in their eyes. And they look at you. There's something that happens in that connection that you cannot replace. That's why one of the greatest things that you can understand about community is the time that you spend. Communities are meant to be more than just time or an idea together. It's meant to be a relationship that you spend life together, doing things together. It is why I encourage you every chance I get to do things. It is why we do things like what we did last week, having chili. It's why we do outreaches. It's why we do these things. Yes, it's nice to do something for the community, but you know what's even better? It's spending time together, face-to-face with each other. It is why I encourage you to reach out across the hall, or across the aisleway, or from one pew to the back pew, to invite someone to say, "Hey, why don't you go to lunch with me today? Let's go to lunch. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Let's spend some time." Because without that face-to-face connection, is community really growing? Because here's what happens. When you're face-to-face in community with each other, you begin to hear what someone needs. You begin to hear the needs. You begin to hear what they lack. You begin to hear things that they might are struggling with. And you can begin to supply what they need, as Paul says. That is why the joy of community is spending time together. Paul's strength in all of this is telling the Thessalonians that they are his joy. The truth is that Paul was able to continue in persecution to doing what he was called to do because of them. Because of the joy that he has. Paul, if you don't know, was in constant persecution for his faith. He was in constant persecution for all of the things that were going on against him. And so what he finds is that by being in the community, by seeing the Thessalonians and seeing their faith and seeing what they do, it helped him to continue on, to continue pressing forward, continue doing the things that he had to do. One may not realize that if you're a part of a community, that you should be spending time with each other. It's very important. You must learn to spend time. If you're sitting next to the person in this room right now, look around to you. Look left and right. See the people around you. Corey, speak nice to your wife, okay? Oh, okay.
It's a normal reaction.
Yeah. Question to you is, have you spent community time with those people around you? What I mean by that is more than just here on Sunday morning. See, Sunday mornings are a wonderful time, and I love seeing all of your smiley faces, and I love participating in worship and worshiping our God together with you. Those are all wonderful things. Those are beautiful things. But let's be honest. If we're not spending time with each other outside of Sunday morning, are we really building a community? No, we're building a gathering. But we're not building a community. Community happens by rubbing elbows together, by participating in events together. I know exactly all of the things that Pat says when he gets mad when we're working and doing woodworking together. I won't mention them, I promise you, I wouldn't say it, so I will not say them. truth of the matter is that because we're in community, I know his heart. I know what he's all about. Because I spent more than just this time with him. We spent time together, doing life together. That's what community is all about. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. He says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us on how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to control his own body with holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, just like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrongs his brother in this matter, because he, the Lord, is the avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you." Paul, go ahead and guide for me. I'm going to bow out of proclaim, and I'll just pull it up in a different way. Verse 4, "that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, just like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever discards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." Paul is sharing with the Thessalonians something that he has heard along the way, or seen. Paul has spent time with the Thessalonians. He's had a relationship with them. He's shared this time with them. But see, what really Paul is trying to address to them is that when you're part of a community, community provides accountability. I know. I was waiting for everyone to go, ugh, right? No one likes accountability. No one wants to be held accountable for the things that they've done. No one wants to be held accountable for all of the things that they've talked about or the things that they should not have done. But being part of a community provides you with accountability. That's what Paul is trying to say to them. He's trying to say, listen, if you're part of this community, if you're following God, then the people around you can hold you accountable to these things. One of the greatest things about community is that you don't face the things in your life alone. You face them with the people around you. And you pour, listen, there's times that I get really, really angry. I told you last Sunday, as I was driving back from my house, a lady cut me off and she told me I was number one. You know what I really wanted to do? I really wanted to show her that she was double number one. But you know what held me accountable? Then I had to come preach a few hours later. Being part of a community holds you accountable. Listen, when it's more than just you, when you're alone, who cares? If I'm in my car and someone does something to me and I tell them to go take a flying leap, right? Who cares? Who have I offended? No one but myself. But because I'm a part of a community of people who hold me accountable, I would have to eventually come back and say, guess what I did, Pastor Chess? Guess what I did, Corey? I'd have to be held accountable to the leaders of this church. That's what being part of a community does. Being part of a community holds you accountable. It makes it more than just you. It makes it about everyone else. So you begin to think about things. Before you say that to someone, you're going to say, wait a minute. What would so-and-so say if they're sitting right next to me? I share a perfect example of this. I was in the business world a few years ago, and I was consulting for a company, and I was driving back and forth to Solon about 3 or 4 times a week. And as I'm driving there was always this car, same car, cut me off. It would almost, I mean, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff on the road. So one day, I decided to be be a little bit more aggressive in my driving. And I followed this car. Followed the car all the way to work. This person in the car decided to, at the red light, roll down the window, and as she stuck her head out the window and began to tell me all kinds of pretty things, I realized I knew her.
Oh no.
So I tailgated her all the way to the company that I was consulting with. And as she got out of the car, I got out of the car. And I walked right up, and she turns around and she goes, well, I can't tell you what she said, actually, because the words she said I can't use. But let us just say she was praying to God, but in a different way that we wouldn't pray to God here in this room. And she looked at me and she goes, that was you? And I said, yeah, for the last month you've been doing this to me. And she goes, I need to excuse myself. I'll talk to you later. And she walked into the company. Here for a month, she was driving erratically and just crazy. And I later found out that she was always leaving late. She was always in a hurry. And she hated her job. And so when we found out this, I began to tell her, I said, well, let's go to lunch. And so we went to lunch together. Her and I and a few other people went to lunch. I bought her lunch. She's like, why are you buying me lunch? I said, because I just want to let you know that you're valued here. She goes, you're a consultant. I said, I know, but you're valued here. And I began to have this conversation with her. And as she began to feel part of being a community, you know what happened? She started leaving a little early to come to work. Why? Because she knew she was going to see me on the road. See, being part of a community holds you accountable not only to yourself, but it holds you accountable to everyone else around you. It makes you realize that maybe I need to work a little harder. One of the worst things that can happen is for many years, I've seen over and over and over again in churches, strong Christian families break apart, divorce. And you know what happens in a church when that happens? That hurts. That hurts the community because there's people in the church that look up to that couple. But being part of a community, if you're part of a community, you can come in and say, listen, things aren't going really well. Can you help me? Paul says that we should offer each other what we lack. We should be helping each other in that way. And Paul goes on to say that we shouldn't suffer from sexual immorality. We shouldn't suffer on how to control our own body. We shouldn't suffer in all of these things. No, we should be better than that because we are part of a community and a community helps each other grow. See, the truth of the matter is that you'll never become the complete version of the Christian that God has called you to be until you're part of an active community of people together, working together, bounded by Jesus to try to be the better version of who you are. And by the way, it's not even going to be that. It'll be much better and amplified 1,000,000,000 eternity times when we go to heaven. And we're in a community together there. When you get to heaven, guess what? You're going to be in an eternity-long community of believers together, worshiping God, loving each other. And let's get some practice here on this earth before we leave. Let's get some practice about loving each other, even when the kids are screaming. Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians to hold fast to doing what is right. Being part of a community, you can encourage each other to do that. Being part of a community, you can encourage each other to hang on. Don't quit. Yes, your marriage may be going through some troubles. Yes, your life and your health may be going through some issues. Yes, your eyes may not be like they're supposed to because of the surgery, but don't give up. Hang on. And guess what? When we fail and we stumble and we fall, guess who should be the first people there to pick us up? Each other. The community around us. And when we have a need because we're missing out on something, guess what should be there? The community. I've said this over and over and over again. One of the biggest mistakes the church has made is that we allowed the government to become welfare providers. The church should have been the welfare providers. We should have been providing for the people in need. We should have been providing for those, the widows and the children and the moms and the dads and the kids who don't have enough to make it. We should be the ones there providing. That's why we do Thanksgiving. That's why we're going to do Christmas presents again. That's why we do all of these things, because we want to help this community. The truth is, when we're part of a community and are accountable to that community, you can overcome Satan's attacks and desires that you may have. The less that you're part of a community, the more you're going to be attacked. Why? Because individuals are easily overcome. Armies are not. See, what's inside of you, you have the abilities, the words, the passions, are exactly what the other person in this room may need. The other person in this room may need exactly what you have. You may have already overcome these passions, these sexual immoralities, these things that Paul talks about. The lying, the gossiping, whatever you all talk about, you may have already overcome those. You may have already struggled through those things. You may be able to go up to someone and say, listen, I've lived that life for you right now, and I can tell you exactly how to do that. Listen, if you have a kidney stone, come to me. I can tell you exactly how to live through it. It's not fun. You have one now? Oh, yeah. Family trade, I guess, right? But honestly, community lives together and works together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone for evil. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Paul ends his letter to the Thessalonians with this encouragement. You ever ask yourself, what does a community actually do? What is a community? What am I supposed to do as being part of this community? Well, Paul just gave you a full list right there. Paul says, be at peace among yourselves. Listen, in a world that's divided, in a world where there's so much division, in a world where we're fighting about everything, Paul starts out by saying, be at peace. See, a community of like-minded people learn to be at peace with each other. Why? Because it doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter what you believe and what you don't. The only thing that matters is Jesus, right? Everything else. I've had a lifelong of of practice at this when it comes to the Browns and the Steelers. Right, Dean? We absolutely hate each other's teams. My whole entire life, we've been that way. But you know what? I love them. I do. Not their team, not their football team. But I love them. We can be at peace with each other even though we're still going to win today. We can be at peace. Yeah. What happens when one of us in this room is idle? Paul says to admonish the idle, right? When you're part of a community and we find out that someone is, listen, the quickest way to lose being part of a community is not to be involved in that community. If you're not involved in the community, if you're not doing the things that the community are going to do, and you just find yourself idle and you're not doing anything and you're just along for the ride, guess what happens? You don't get involved. You don't feel connected. Why? Because you don't feel connected. You don't feel part of that. And so being part of a community, we can encourage. Paul uses the word admonish. I'd like to use the word encourage each other not to be idle. To go along and say, come on, join me. Come with me. Help me deliver baskets. Help me buy Christmas presents. Help me do these things. He goes on to say, be patient with them all. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. Listen, I don't have and I'm not going to pray to God to give me patience because he'll give me the situation for that patience. I'm kidding. I do. I pray for patience all the time. But we need to have that patience. Paul's saying a community is those that admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. A community helps you not repay anyone evil for evil. Right? Listen, what's the first thing that you want to do when someone wrongs you? That's right. Yep. It's my good friend Ben used to say, I'm going to throat punch him. He still says it, yeah. He does. He still. I heard him say it the other day, actually. The truth of the matter is, though, is that that's not the way we respond. We don't repay evil for evil. That's really hard to do. Do you understand? This is really hard to do. But if we're part of a community and your brothers and sisters around you and say, listen, I know someone wronged you and I know that hurts and I know that's not what you want to do, but just take a deep breath. Nothing's going to benefit by repaying that person with evil. Nothing. I posted this week that it was really hard for me on Facebook. I posted it was really hard for me to hold my tongue when I really, really wanted to say something, and I was in the right. I could have said something. I could have just put someone in their place. But you know what? What would have got me? Nothing. It's not right to repay evil for evil. So instead, we repay evil with love. We love that person. We walk that line. Seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Paul says that being part of a community says that we should not repay anyone with evil, but always seek to do good. And to not only seek to do good to one another, but to everyone, even those that like the Steelers. I had to get it in one more time, D. Come on, you know. Sorry. He goes on to say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then he says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Listen, the reason why he adds us in there is because as a community, as part of a community, as being together in community, we should understand that the Holy Spirit is residing. It takes all of us to have the Holy Spirit reside in a church service. You understand that? It's not just me. It's not just him, it's not just you, it takes everyone. And as we come together seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking God, seeking Jesus, and worshiping him together as a community, then we can encourage each other and make sure that we're not quenching the Holy Spirit. But how can I, excuse me, how can I keep you from quenching the Holy Spirit if I don't have a relationship with you to know that you're actually doing that? The community does those very things. Respect the works that others do. Be at peace. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient. Seek to do good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And giving thanks. Do you know, there's not one thing in this list that not everyone can do that. There's not one thing in this list that keeps anyone from in this room, regardless of your age, regardless of your physical ability, regardless of anything that's in here, that says, I can't do that. Can you respect the work that others do? Absolutely, everyone can do that. Can you be at peace? Yeah, it might be difficult for some people, but yes, you can be. Can you admonish the idle? Yes, you can. You can encourage each other. Can you encourage the faint-hearted? Yes, you can do that. Can you help the weak? Yes, you can do that. Can you be patient? It might be difficult again, but yes, you can. Can you seek to do good? Yes, you can. Can you rejoice always? Yes, you can. Pray without ceasing? Yes, you can. Give thanks? Yes, you can. The reason why Paul ends all of this within the very point that he says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Paul knows that we can do these things together. Together you can do these things. Together, listen, I don't want to be cliche, but together you can do almost anything you want to. says, listen, I can do so much on my own, not because of my ability, but because I have the Holy Spirit and I have God inside of me. But you add someone to that, and guess what? I can do a lot more. You add another person, they can do a lot more. Do you know that the person, the average person who is connected to a community is 85% more likely not to suffer from a divorce than the couple who is not connected to a community? Do you know the person who is connected to a community is 60% more likely not to suffer from depression than the person who isn't connected to a community? Do you know the couple who's connected to a community is almost 75% less likely to suffer from immorality, an adultery, a cheating relationship than those that aren't? Why? Because we are doing life together and we're encouraging each other together. Absolutely. That's being part of a community. Listen, if I suffer and I fail, it's going to be really hard for me to stand up in front of you and say, listen what I did. That's part of being part of a community. There's so much more that can be said about this idea of community, but let me say this. The community needs you to be an active part of the community. We need you to be an active part of this community. We need you to be an active part of the community in which you are part of. It's all about each other. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about all of us together. Together, we can achieve what the Lord has put on our plate to achieve. Together, listen, together we're going to serve 15 families. Thanksgiving dinners. We're supposed to do 25, but the Congregational Church took some, and so we're gonna feed over 15 families. 15 families. Some of them have 10 to 12 kids. So some of them are receiving extra bath. You don't know that yet, but I'll talk to you about that. But they have one. Wait, did I say that out loud? I did. This community can be everything that you want it to be, but you have to be an active part of this community. God, I started this sermon series a few weeks ago by saying, it is not by accident that you're in this room right here, right now. That holds true today as it did two weeks ago. And it's not by accident that you're here. This community needs what you have. But the question is, do you need this community? Are you an active part of this community? Do you want to be part of this community, living together, bound by Him? That's what's important. This word that I want to end with today says togetherness. Together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. But this word in this sermon series says together. Together means that we live life walking hand in hand together. Together means that we face the issues that we face. Together means that we face the joys that we face together. Together means that whatever you're going through today, if you're part of this community and want to be part of this community, there's someone beside you that wants to help. Okay, Christy?
Yes, I don't think
you need your ears. Okay. Hey, Christy, we're part of a community. It's okay. Listen, I'm so thankful for each and every one of you guys that are in this room, and I want our community to do so much more than what we have been doing. Not that we have it. We've been doing a lot. Listen, we do a lot as a community together, and I love it. I love all the outreach we do. I love serving dinners. I love helping with Christmas gifts. I love serving backpacks every Friday to the kids. I love doing all of those things that we do. Those are wonderful things. But you know what makes more joy in my heart than anything else? Seeing people within our own community helping each other, spending time together, loving each other, because becoming friends with each other and supporting each other. That, as a pastor, is one of the greatest joys that you can ever experience. Because it's not me. It's about you. And so what I want to encourage you to do today, as we have done, we're going to sing this worship song. But after all, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And so what I want you to do, and when we're done singing this worship song, and I'll remind you, because I know some of us have short memory spans. Half the church raises their hands. I was saying I did. I wasn't telling you to raise your hands, by the way. So, but what I want you to do is I want you to find someone in this room and tell them how much you're thankful that they're here today. Spend time with them, getting to know them. Encourage each other in this way. Are you thankful for the people that you're in community with? I know I am. So let's be thankful for each other. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're the greatest and almighty God, and we love you so much. And community actually starts with you, Father. We want to be in community, unity, in commune, unity with you. Starts with you, Father, but it's also the people that are on each side of the aisles, that are from the front to the back, the people that serve, the people that are here today supporting and just being part of this community we call Passion Community Church. Father, I thank you so much for each and every single person that's here. And I ask you, Lord, today that you would help us to continue pressing on and being community-minded together. May we learn to be thankful for each other and with each other. Father, I certainly know in a room this size, or maybe even watching at home online, there's some people that may never have entered into a community or entered into a relationship with you. And so if that's you today, and you're here, or you're watching at home online, may today be that day where you do, as Romans 10:9 says, confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, repent of my sins, and ask him into your hearts. So simply saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my King. Be my Savior. So I can commune with you. If you're here today or at home online and you said those words for the first time, welcome to a community of people who love you and want to support you and help you grow in that way. If you're here today and you've said those words before, but you're not feeling so connected, you're not feeling like this is the place, you're not feeling, you're just feeling depressed, life is so difficult, then may you seek out someone in this room and say, I need your help. You need to be encouraged. Lord, help us to encourage each other. Help us to be open, honest with each other. Not to hide our feelings, not to hide the problems, but to be honest and open with each other, to learn to commune together in unity. We love you, Father. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's sing this worship song together.
Not just when I speak the name of Jesus, but in every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence, and I seek Jesus. Just one spirit for me to Jesus, to every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. My spirit, Jesus, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. With every trouble, shadow to shadow, your life is mine. Not just one sweet name of Jesus, but with me, all things are
As a reminder, what I want you to do is I want you to seek out someone who's not your family member. So don't forget your husband or your wife or your kids or anyone else here, but seek out someone who's not your family member and just tell them how thankful you are to have them here. Ask them a name, get to know them a little bit if you don't know them already, and just say, I'm thankful for you being here today. Thankful that you're part of this community. And then I encourage you to do one other thing. Invite them to lunch. Doesn't have to be today. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. But spend some time together. Listen, it's okay for us to commune together outside of Sunday morning. Alright? I know it might sound like a big secret and you're all going, but you're not busy yet. Well, we all eat. I guarantee you that. Well, I guarantee I always eat. That's the way I say. But invite them to eat. So go ahead, find someone, thank them, be blessed. God bless you guys all. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you again next week. God bless. Miss Tanya, I want to.